What's going on, Cubs fans? Welcome to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. This is episode 146 on Locked On Cubs, and I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Sears, and my co-host and friend Ryan Davis on the other side here. Ryan, thanks for being on the show. What's going on, man?
Just another lovely Sunday night preparing for the thing we are always doing, playing against the Brewers and trying not to pull our hair out.
That's like pretty much the most accurate representation of what's going on here right now. So clearly, we're going to talk today in today's episode about the Cubs and Brewers going into game 163, which was luckily able to happen today because both the Cubs and Brewers won today. We'll break down today the Cubs 10-5 win over the Cardinals in the first segment. Second segment, we're going to talk about some maybe like our more concerning things for the Cubs as we enter the postseason and what are some of the biggest things. I know clearly we'll talk about the bullpen, the offense, whatever. Ryan and I'll kind of give our take on who we think or what portion of the Cubs that we're most concerned about. And then that third and final segment, of course, we'll preview tomorrow's game or I guess today's game, Monday's game, with the Cubs and Brewers going head-to-head for the NL Central crown.
If you didn't see this game and you're listening to this podcast, which I'm guessing most of you understand what happened, but imagine, you know, basically a must-win game for the Cubs. Mike Montgomery leaves. The Cubs are down 2-0 in the third inning with one out, a runner on second, and here comes Alan Webster. Just how confident you're feeling in that moment. Not really.
Exactly. So, I mean, Montgomery gets pulled from this game early, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God. And, of course, like, we just get a point. The Brewers are leading 4-0 over the Tigers. So it's like, oh, my God, what are we doing? So the Cubs luckily rallied in the third inning, was able to score 4 runs in the third inning. So it started with Wilson Contreras had first hit a sharp line drive, probably one of the best hit balls he's had all season, straight in left field, you know, just kind of like looking like another one of these at-bats for the Cubs where they're going to just kind of line balls out and basically get out. Victor Caratini struck out, and then Daniel Murphy doubled into right center. Ben Zobrist then came up and tripled.
That's right.
Scoring or putting putting the Cubs a run up. Baez walked, and then on that forward on a pass ball, wild pitch, actually from Jack Flaherty, who just kind of shorted a curveball, bounced one away. Honestly, it didn't look like a play because it played pretty well off the carom from the backstop itself. It just didn't look like Flaherty thought he had a chance on Zobrist, and then when Pena was at the backstop, was able to make that play, Flaherty just didn't come to it enough time, and Zobrist scored, and the Cubs tied the game up at 2-2. Inning, and then like we were talking before, Anthony Rizzo hit that double after Baez had walked. He scored. Cubs took a 3-2 lead, and then later in that inning, I think it was an intentional walk to Chris Bryant to get to Jason Hayward. So it was a lefty-lefty matchup with Chase and Shreve. Thank you. Going up against Jason Hayward, he lined a single over the right side, scoring Rizzo, and Bryant came to third, and then I think that was the end of the inning. I think Schwarber grounded out, and the Cubs took a 4-2 lead in this game. So it's a huge, huge third inning, and then Alec Mills comes into this game and pitches 2 pretty solid innings for the Cubs, gets them through. The Cubs score 4 more runs in the fifth inning, a Javier Baez single, then another Anthony Rizzo double. Both of them sailed up, so runners on third and second in the fifth, and then Chris Bryant hit a sharp double into left field. Rizzo and Baez score in the play, and then Wilson Contreras later in that inning crushed a home run into left field. His 10th of the year, which of course, you know, on the down year for the Cubs, take an 8-2 lead. Pretty much from there, you know, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was another one of those hit the line, and right. I guess it bounced up. And Len Casper was convinced that it hit the video board behind that line. I don't think it did, but it bounced up and then came back out on the field like we've seen happen a couple times at Wrigley this year. And then Mike Schilt came out and argued that that was what had happened, but the umpires for some reason told him no and didn't even review it. So a good break for the Cubs that it didn't even get reviewed.
Yeah, and then there were people saying, like, you know, if Contreras, it didn't matter anyways because Contreras touched home or rounded home or something like that, whatever. But it was another one of those, like, rides the line type of plays like you were talking about. The Cubs tacked on 2 more runs later on in the sixth inning, extended their lead 10-5 or 10-2. Cardinals would score, I believe, three more runs here. They score two in the sixth, another one in the seventh. Cubs win 10-5. But even like throughout that game, like it just felt so tense. And I don't know if it was necessarily the moment or if it was just like knowing that the Cardinals had the potential to maybe storm and come into the game for the Cubs. I don't know about you, but I was like, this was a game I was like white knuckling all the way through, even with at one point like a 6-run lead.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just because it's the Cardinals, you know, and it was like a game that you absolutely had to have, and the Cardinals took the early lead, the Cubs came back on them, you knew the Cardinals would, you know, I mean, what there was at one point, I think the Cubs were up like 8-4 or something like that, and somebody
in the sixth inning.
Yeah, somebody on the Cardinals had a drive to right field that Jason Hayward caught at the ball, and it would have been a 3-run homer or something like that. Or maybe it was when it was 10-4 and it would have been 10-8. So, I mean, it was just like, it was that stuff, you know, it was just like they were always like one swing away from making this like,
right,
you know, pucker time essentially. So, yeah, it was just another typical kind of Cubs 2018 game where even when they're comfortably ahead, you're not that comfortable with it. But right, that's something that we'll talk about more in the second half, which is the state of the bullpen and, you know, how there's like very few trustworthy arms at this point. So
very good point. I mean, case in point today, I think the Cubs saw 9 pitchers go to the mound today. Clearly that's like partly because they want us, but it just, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, Montgomery, you know, I was perfectly fine with the quick hook on him, even though it was first Alan Webster and then Alec Mills. I was relatively okay with that because, you know, we call this game must win, but, you know, they're playing tomorrow to avoid the wild card. If they had lost today, they'd just go to the wild card, which is still very much a possibility when you're playing a Brewers team that is, you know, unlike the Cubs who have these good games and then these bad games. The Brewers are on a 7-game winning streak. They don't look like a team that can be beaten on any given day at this point, even though they were playing the Tigers. Right. But, you know, they played the Cardinals before that, and the Cardinals play the Cubs, you know, somewhat tight in a couple of these games. So a Brewers team that's coming into your house that is just, like, with their hair on fire, ready to beat the crap out of you. You know, I was, like, relatively okay in my own mind if the Cubs had lost this game early. So if they had lost it because they brought in Alan Webster and Alec Mills to eat innings and, you know, save the bullpen from destroying themselves to get to tomorrow, I was going to be okay with that because it was going to be like, look, you know, you take 2 days off, you rest, and then you go out there and you play, you know, whoever it is that you have to play. Yeah, who
Dodgers
played
or Rockies.
Who lost their game 163 on Monday, you know, then they had to travel from wherever they were, you know, Los Angeles or wherever it is. And then they had to travel to Chicago to play you. I mean, it'd be fine. I would be okay with, you know, take the extra day off, but, you know, let's just see where this goes. I'm not feeling all that confident going up against the Brewers, but based on what I saw against the Cardinals today, based on what I saw yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know, for today, to finish out this segment, talking about this game, I didn't really feel good about 90% of what I saw. You know, beating up on a really awful Cardinals, like running out the clock bullpen of Chasen Shreve and, you know, some of these other, you know, kids who are, you know, just basically like, I made it to the big leagues this year. I'm ready for this to be over so I can like rest and get at it next year and actually have like hope for a postseason. Like that doesn't, like, beating up on that doesn't excite me. What raises my eyebrows is, you know, the pitchers that you need to pitch well going out there and pitching well, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Which would be your CJ Edwards, of course, and those people like that. So, for the most part, a game that they won, and you would look at the box score and think this was like an encouraging sign, but everything I took away from this game, I know I'm probably just being super negative just because we've been so frustrated with this team, but like everything I took away from this game was like, well, you know, sure, that was great that this happened today, but if that didn't happen, you know, 3 other things probably didn't happen. So it's just boom or bust right now. So let's roll to the second segment. We'll kind of take a look at the bullpen, the offense, kind of what we're most afraid of going up in the series, of course, for tomorrow, for the Brewers and this 163, and then, of course, just like a postseason series altogether. So today, like I mentioned here beforehand, the Cubs had to featured 9 different pitchers. Out of those pitchers, I would say, like, I don't know, maybe like, you know, clearly not, not including Montgomery. He was the starter today. He'll be in this bullpen. But for the most part, like, maybe 4 arms that we saw today that would likely be in the bullpen for the postseason. And none of them, outside of maybe Cishek, who had to throw, I think, 11 pitches to get one out. none of them really jumped out at me today. And I'm concerned what options are for the Cubs, particularly if they don't have Pedro Strop. Now, it sounds like he's planning on being back. It sounded like he was going to be here for sure Thursday. I would assume if he could go Thursday, he could probably go Monday. I don't really know, but what are you feeling right now with this Cubs bullpen? Because not good feelings is what I have right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel about it. With Strope, I mean, as much as you'd like to have him fully healthy tomorrow, you still have expanded 40-man rosters. Very so true. You don't need him specifically tomorrow, at least in terms of, like, having him on the roster. By Thursday, you know, that would be nice. But it sounds like he'll be back on Thursday. How usable he'll be is the real question, considering he doesn't get a rehab stint.
Right.
He's not going to throw against, you know, minor leaguers in, like, the Arizona Fall League or something like that. So you just don't know. This is a point we've brought up before on this podcast, but he hurt his hamstring in early September of 2016 and came back, like, right down the stretch, right before the postseason, and basically Madden was afraid to use him all postseason because he just wasn't right. So it's very possible that this is completely different than that, but that's just the best, like, correlation I can draw to create expectations. I just don't expect that Strope's going to be in any way usable. And best case scenario is he can come in and throw some middle innings for you and help you eat some innings until you feel comfortable with him. And then worst case scenario is he's not usable and he's eating up a roster spot that you badly needed another guy for. So it's risky even having him on the roster at this point because he just hasn't pitched in major league games. But as far as the bullpen goes, I put this out on Twitter today. Most people that I've talked to on Twitter, like fans, seem pretty convinced they're going to use a 7-man bullpen because that's what they've done in the past. I don't think that's a gimme because of the state of the bullpen and how much they might need an extra arm just because so many guys can't be trusted to get more than, like, 1 or 2 outs.
Right.
But at least right now, it seems like you have a few sure-handed, like, these are the guys who are going to be there, and that's, like, Strope's probably going to be there unless something changes. So he's on the roster. You've got Edwards, who has been so shaky lately. He's going to be there. The way Madden talks about him, refers to him as the guy they need. He's going to be there. Cishek, De La Rosa, Chavez, Wilson, Montgomery, and then Randy Rosario. That's 8. So if they only go with 7, I'm guessing you're cutting off Rosario. But that's your bullpen. That's your postseason. Is Mike Montgomery, Justin Wilson, Jesse Chavez, Jorge De La Rosa, Steve Cishek, Carl Edwards Jr., and the ghost of Pedro Strop.
Let's hope it's more than that.
How you
that.
Feel about that? Yeah.
Not good would be my assessment. Yeah, for the most part, I mean, I agree with that. I think just like you said, with the way the bullpen's been, like, you need to have 8 guys. You got to have options. Just because on any given moment, like, one of these guys could just fall apart, and you're gonna need at least to have some arms that can get you through it. The thing is, like, this bullpen, a lot of those guys that you mentioned have had excellent moments in this season. Like, I've had moments where they're just extremely good, but then there's other times, like CJ Edwards, clear example, like, you can't seem to figure it out at this moment right now. So you take the good with the bad with Edwards. You kind of look at the rest of this bullpen construction right now, and it's not fantastic, but you can work with it, and there's plenty of guys that can step up in moments, and that's what you're praying for, I think, as the Cubs, knowing that you don't really absolutely lights out, but you know you have pieces that can be utilized in the right moments. So good news is for the Cubs, for game 163 at least, Chavez and Wilson didn't pitch. Steve Cishek I think through 9 or 11 pitches somewhere on there. So like he's had some usage, but could definitely go tomorrow at least for an inning or so. Those are probably at least two of those arms have been the most reliable in recent. I guess Wilson just had a kind of a sort of bad outing. But before that, I mean, clearly Jesse Chavez has been very good. Wilson's great. He's probably like their closer at the moment right now, if you want to say that. They've got good pieces to go tomorrow. And Jose Quintana is going to be this guy, clearly, going on the mound. So we'll get them. For bullpen-wise, I think if you don't go with eight guys, you would have to assume you're feeling really, really confident in these guys. And I don't know how you can even argue that point at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, on the flip side of it, it's do you feel like Randy Rosario helps you more than Terrence Gore? And I can see the argument that no, he doesn't, because Terrence Gore can get on the bases and essentially steal you a run. So that's your argument between taking 7 and 8, which I understand.
Right.
If the Cubs have a super deep bullpen, and the difference between like let's say they had more arms, let's say Morrow was in there, let's say Strope was at 100%, you were talking about the difference between 7 and 8 was whether you take, you know, De La Rosa or whether you put C.J. Edwards on there or just leave him off completely. I could understand it then, like, well, yeah, if C.J. Edwards is your borderline guy and he's the guy who, you know, if he figures it out again, yeah, that guy's more valuable than, let's say, Terrence Gore. But no, I'm not so sure he is, like Randy Rosario is. So that's where it is. On the positional side, we have to talk about the offense a little bit because the offense has been so spotty. But, you know, where are we with – let's go ahead and assume. Let's say that they take 7 pitchers just because that's what they've done in years past, although I'm again, not totally convinced that they will.
I don't think they will, but yeah.
Let's say they only take 7. What's your positional side? Because then you've got 13 position players, your 8 starting players, and then you also have, you know, what, 5 on the bench.
Tommy Listella is probably there on your bench. You know, clearly Victor Curantini is going to be there. They just activated Bobby Wilson, which was weird. I don't think he'll be there, but he's probably an option. David Bode, if he's not starting. Almora, Happ on your bench. And then, I mean, where am I at right now? That's 5 guys, right?
I lost track at some point.
So it's Carantini, it's Bode, Almora, Happ, and then I guess Tommy Listella. Okay, so that's my 5 there, right? That's for the most part. I mean, who else? I mean, Terrence Gore is your other guy, I guess, because you would need 6, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
So Terrence Gore is probably there. So that would be, I mean, I honestly, it really legitimately is Terrence Gore or Randy Rosario. Because, I mean, anyone else, like, you're not going to put Mike Freeman on this roster. You're not going to, I don't know why, but Bobby Wilson, maybe. I don't know. He hasn't played at all, but, you know, maybe you're super confident in his framing. Just like, why? So, I mean, it's literally, you know, do you want Terrence Gore or do you want Randy Rosario? But offensively, like, what are you thinking, I guess?
All right, so I wrote a piece for Bet Chicago where I went over this, and I said Contreras, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, Hayward, Almora, Zobrist, Murphy, Kyle Schwarber, and Victor Caratini are set on the roster. And that would leave, if you're talking about 13 spots for position players, that leaves 3 open spots. And at the time, there were 5 players in the conversation for it. I think there's only 4 now. So it was David Bode, Terrence Gore, Tommy Listella, He Who Shall Not Be Named, and Ian Happ were the players that I had in the conversation for that. I originally had said that the way I would have done it would be to put Bode, Gore, and Happ in, and Listella and He Who Shall Not Be Named out. So, I don't know if you have to leave one out among Bode, Gore, Happ, Listella, and then everybody else I just listed. Who does it have to be?
I would say when you're talking about like what's the more likely situation that's going to happen, they need like do you really need speed on the base passes, or do you need a really good at bat? You could probably find a really good at bat from some other people who have a lot more pop in their bat than Tommy Lestell at this point right now. So yeah.
And I have to caveat before you go on. That's if they take eight relievers. So okay. I'm sorry.
So clearly the seven, you would have that option for there. So that would make the decision for you. But clearly that's if they do decide to keep those eight relievers, which I think you and I are both leaning towards at this point, three roster spots for the bench. I'd say Terrence Gore probably makes it over Tommy Lestell.
If they do go with seven relievers for an NLDS, which I think is a serious option, just given that they've tended to do that more, you know, with the off days in between, you know, games three and or games two and three, and then four and five. With Monty in there to be able to go several innings, you know, it's a possibility they do go with seven. Then this conversation, you know, we're not even having it. Then they bring everybody. But I do think it's interesting, the idea of Gore versus Lestella. I think Gore typically adds more value because of his one specific skill.
Yeah.
But Lestella has started to hit a little bit better lately. The problem is Lestella, he's been a part of this roster all the way back to 2015. He's really, like, you know, a major part of what they do and the pinch hitting and all that. He really just hasn't been very good this year, and that's been the problem. I mean, he's been good as a pinch hitter, but if you look at his overall statistics, he's not very good.
No.
So like he hasn't hit for any power at all. He did hit a double the other day against the Pirates in a huge game on the day where they pushed from a half game lead to a full game lead. There was a huge double in there. So it's been better lately. I think it'd be hard for them to make a case to not bring Tommy Lestella on the roster. So I do think they'll end up in a place probably where they bring everybody they need.
Let's roll to the third segment where we can preview this Brewers Cubs 163 game that, by the way, you can still buy tickets to. I just checked on StubHub. You can buy two tickets for $150 collectively right now. So go buy tickets if you're available. And no, I think it's a noon start, so kind of a weird start time. So
right.
Let's roll into the third segment and talk about that. So the division will be decided today between the Cubs and the Brewers. Joe Maddon had a pretty interesting quote today where he first walked into his press conference and said, it's pretty crazy to think that you could play 162 games and decide nothing.
Yeah.
Coming into this game, Ryan, what are your thoughts? Jose Quintana versus, I think it's Juli Chacin, isn't it?
No, I don't. The Brewers haven't named a starter yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they want somebody on 4 days rest, I think Chase Anderson is going to be on 4 days rest. I have to check that, but I think I don't know if Chacin has 4 days rest or not, but either way,
I'm taking a look.
Yeah, I don't think the Brewers have named a starter.
I think you're right, actually. I think that was the probables listed, or I guess I think it was actually the Cubs broadcast guessing Juli Chacin. But Chase Anderson actually probably makes the most sense because he is his rest time, I think, adds up the closest right now out of the guys he would want to pitch, being him or Chacin likely. But whoever the Brewers decide to throw, I guess, for the most part, the Cubs haven't seen really any of their pitching well this season. So, I mean, this is going to be another tough matchup and likely a game the Cubs are just going to seriously have to grind out, but also jump on whoever is starting this game, because whoever comes in after that is also a guy the Cubs struggle with and also probably the entire league has struggled with, because the Brewers have one of the most dominating bullpens we've seen in a long time, and the Cubs are just going to be SOL if they have to score any more than a couple runs against this Brewer bullpen.
They have to score early and often, and that sucks to say. They have to score early against whoever is starting the game for the Brewers. I've heard the rumbling that it could be just a bullpen game for Milwaukee, which I don't know how you do that in a game 163 unless I guess they're just super confident in their bullpen. The worst thing about the Tigers just being the Tigers the last couple days against the Brewers is that the first two games of that series they lost by one run, but today it was like 11-0 or something like that. So Milwaukee didn't even have to use any of their high leverage relievers. So the, you know, guys like Corey Knebel and Josh Hader, Jeremy Jeffress, all those guys got a day off today going into tomorrow's game. So they're all fresh and ready to pitch. So that's cool. Yeah. So you're going to see, you know, you could get like Corbin Burns coming in for an inning or two in the fourth inning. And then after that, you could get, you know, two innings from Hader and an inning from Knebel and an inning from Jeffress. And you really could see a full, like, a starter go like three and a third innings for the Brewers. And that'd be, if you pulled a guy like Chase Anderson in the middle of the fourth inning with, let's say, like a 5-2 lead, you probably feel really good about that if you're the Brewers. So
yeah,
you gotta get on them fast. You have to score early or this game's lost. And on the other side of it, it's Quintana. He's has to do what he does against the Brewers pretty much every time out. I think in his career he has a 160 ERA against the Brewers in 10 starts. He had that one start where he gave up some runs this year, but it was typical day at Wrigley in the middle of the summer, wind blowing out. It was a hot day. He hung two curveballs to Ryan Braun that both ended up as two-run homers. Outside of that, Quintana didn't pitch specifically all that poorly. It was just like three pitches in that game were bad,
yeah,
and they all got hit out of the park. So that's what I've got for it, is that Quintana needs to do what he does and keep the Brewers from scoring a ton of runs early, because, you know, obviously that's going to kill you either way. And then
right,
you have to build up the kind of lead that is, you know, Brewers bullpen proof.
Yeah, that's really, the Cubs have to attack whoever's there first, because when you get to the Josh Haders and the Corey Knebels and get to these guys, I mean, they're high leverage, great, talented bullpen guys that have been doing it for all year, and we kept expecting these guys to have the wheels kind of crash, fall off, and they crash and burn, but it has not happened. They've gotten stronger, in fact, actually, as the season goes on. So, I mean, clearly they're amped up to be.
Yeah, they've been able to rest them in September in a way that the Cubs haven't been able to rest guys like, you know, C-Sheck. I'm guessing that if the Cubs had Morrow and Strope both completely healthy all the way through, the end of the season, they're probably coming in looking a lot better, you know, as a bullpen, having been able to rest guys like C-Sheck and maybe work on some stuff with Edwards if he, you know, even has the, you know, kind of falling apart that he's had. So, yeah, things look really different if the Cubs stay healthy. And think about if the Brewers had lost their two best high leverage relievers, how they would be looking coming into the postseason. I'm going to say that if the Brewers had lost their two best relievers, or even two of their three best relievers, we're not playing game 163 tomorrow. The Brewers are probably just a wild card team.
Yeah, honestly, that's a seriously. I mean, this team is honestly, I think that's probably the most frustrating thing to me for this Brewers team, is like, this team is good. Like, they deserve to be here right now. But realistically, is this a championship team? Like, no. There's going to be a team that's going to be able to, if they are able to get past the NLDS and they go to the NLCS in a 7-game series, I think the Brewers are going to be exposed, because you can't have your bullpen go 7 games and pitch, I mean, 4 or 5 of those innings every game. So, I mean, and that's because, I mean, that's how they've been successful, besides like some of these blowout games they had like today and, you know, throughout this month of September. There's no way you can realistically survive that. So this team's going to eventually fall apart outside of like Christian Yelich finding a way to hit 10 home runs this postseason. it's going to be tough. I mean, this Brewer offense has been great. I think the pitching is going to at some point be exposed, and, you know, it's going to turn into a slugfest. And those bats are good, but outside of Yelich, who's really elite in that lineup? Not a ton of guys, I would say. So.
Yeah, I'd love to see what would happen, and I'm not totally there with you on Milwaukee not being the team that ends up in the World Series. I don't think they win. I don't think they win the World Series, but
I don't think any NL team wins the World Series. But
yeah, that, I'm there with you on that. But yeah, if I had to put money down on a team that I thought was going to win the World Series, assuming, let's say we assume that the Brewers are in the NLDS in one way or another, I think they may end up being the World Series representative for the NL. But I would think it'd be really fun to see what it would look like if the Brewers were playing, let's say, the Colorado Rockies in the NLCS, trying to put their bullpen out there for like 4 innings a game in Coors Field. Like, that might not go their way, I don't think.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Hopefully on Monday we're talking about a 163-game win. Beyond that, Ryan, any last thoughts you want to throw out here before we jump off the show?
I guess just, you know, we've talked basically all year about the MVP race. I wrote something for Bet Chicago that's going to go up tomorrow. I put out my awards, but I'll spoil a little bit here. I don't see how you pick anybody but Christian Yelich for the National League MVP. He's right. Just, I mean, at this point, he's pulled away. I know some Cub fans I was seeing on Twitter, even when he was just like destroying the baseball for the Brewers yesterday and today, were still like really clinging to that. No, Baez is still the MVP kind of thing. And even Jim Deshay said on the radio or on the TV broadcast today, like, no, Yelich is the MVP. Baez has had an outstanding season and he's very worthy of an MVP, but Yelich has just been better. And that's where we got to, you know, hopefully the Cubs get the bigger prize and end up with the division and, you know, move on to the NLCS and the World Series and beyond. But Yelich is going to win the battle, it seems. So, maybe the Cubs will win the war.
Lynn Casper put it really well. Christian Yelich is the MVP, but Javier Baez has had an MVP season. And I think, you know, that's a great way to put it. He has been incredible. Yeah. I'm very interested to see how he holds up for next year, because I do think a lot of this was just Javier Baez swinging very hard sometimes and making contact. It doesn't always happen, but it's been a fun season. So, beyond that, thanks for tuning in, guys. Game 163 starts tomorrow at noon. Still buy tickets if you can. Brewers fans are apparently trying to buy tickets, so let's not let that happen. No one wants to see that. But beyond that, you can find this podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play. Follow Locked On Cubs at Locked On Cubs on Twitter. You can find Ryan at Ryan Q Davis on Twitter. I'm Sean R. Sears. You can find some of our writing at NBC Sports, Bet Chicago, Ryan, any of the places we need to plug for you.
No, that's good enough for now.
If you know any HR jobs, Ryan is definitely interested. Hook him up. Do him a solid. Beyond that, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we'll talk to you guys Monday night.